We're going to read in the book of Joshua today, Joshua chapter 1. Joshua, the first chapter. You'll notice that there's a theme, and I'll make reference to some other scriptures here in just a moment, but there's this reoccurring theme in the life of Joshua as he gets started on his the task of leading the children of Israel, stepping in to fill the shoes of Moses. And there's this theme that keeps coming back to him. The Lord keeps speaking to him and even reminds him. Moses reminds him. The Lord speaks to him. Even the children of Israel remind him of this reoccurring theme. And let's look at it here in Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 1. Now the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. That's the theme that is repeated to the heart of Joshua. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance of the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You can go all the way to the end of the chapter, and it's now the children of Israel that have heard this theme reoccurring several times. And so the last verse, it says, whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandments and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. So that's the theme that seems to be a reoccurring theme whenever God speaks and says something repeatedly in the scripture. It's not just because he didn't have anything else to say. When God repeats something in scripture, it is for emphasis. It is to show the value, the importance of that message that is to be heard and received and acted upon. You know, right back at the beginning of this year, 2021, as we started the new year, most of the time we start the year with some days set aside to pray and fast and kind of look to the new year, asking the Lord, Lord, what do you want to do? And how do you want to direct in this coming year? Last year, in 2020, when we prayed that same kind of prayer, we had no idea some of the things that we would face in the year 2020. And, of course, when 2021 rolled around, we didn't know what this year, and we still don't know all the things that this year may hold for us. And so asking the Lord, Lord, I need direction. I need you to speak to me and to help me. And honestly, it seemed like that there wasn't really any real sense of direction, not a lot of specific things that the Lord was saying, except in my spirit, I just felt the Lord saying, go forward, go forward, go forward. Don't stay where you are, go forward, move forward. Because we know that in last year, we were either slowed way down in many respects as far as our lives, our church life, our ministries, and so many things slowed down, sometimes almost put to a complete stop. That was last year. This year, the Lord was just speaking into my spirit, go forward, move forward. Don't stay where you are, move forward. And I believe that that's exactly the message that he was giving to Joshua and the children of Israel, to move forward. You remember what they had faced and their fathers had faced 40 years before as they came up to that very border to enter into the promised land. When those spies came back, 10 of them, the Bible says, had an evil report. Only 2 had a report that was full of faith, but 10 of them had an evil report. And they simply said, we can't do this. We can't move forward. We can't go in. We can't. The Lord had promised them that I'm going to give you the land. I'm going to drive out all of your enemies. I'm going to give you the victory. But the evil report stopped them and kept them from moving forward. What had literally happened is those words that were spoken stole from them their strength and their courage. It stole from them their confidence and their faith to believe that they could truly move forward and do what the Lord had called them to do. You could go back to Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6, where the Lord spoke to Moses, telling him to declare this message. 31 and verse 6, be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. In Deuteronomy 31 and 7, Moses spoke to Joshua, telling him, I'm not going to go in. I'm not going to be able to go in. But Joshua, you be strong. Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of all of Israel, be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. So that was this reoccurring message that Moses spoke, that the Lord spoke to him, and that he spoke to Joshua, telling him then again in Joshua chapter 1, the Lord spoke to Joshua personally with that message, only be strong and courageous. Amen. Only be strong and be courageous. It's interesting, that word, the word courage, the Hebrew word, it literally means to be alert or aware. To beware of the challenges. We're not hiding our head in the sand. We know there are challenges ahead for us even today. We know the challenges are real, but aware of the challenges, but even more so, aware of the fact of the command of God and the promise of God, that it supersedes anything that the enemy would want to do to try to stop what God wants to do. Courage means you're aware of the challenge, but you're more aware of the fact that God is directing and leading, and so you take courage and you move forward. The old Anglo word for courage is a word that means to have more heart, to have more heart, or to be wholehearted. And have you seen people get into such a situation that they lose heart? Sometimes folks lose heart their personal life, in their own spiritual life. They lose heart in the work that God has given to them. They lose heart in some endeavors that they're involved in. If your heart isn't really in it, you're going to have a tough time succeeding in moving forward. So there has to be something accomplished in your heart. There has to be a work of the Spirit of God in your heart so that your heart is once again strengthened and your heart is once again that you have more heart to be able to do what the Lord is calling us to do. It's not easy to be victorious if your heart has been affected, if you've been turned away from the voice of the Lord and your heart is being affected by what's happening around you today. I believe that if you'll take heart, God will give to us the ability to do what he's calling us to do. There were seven different nations or tribes that inhabited the promised land. It was still the promised land, even though that it was inhabited by all of these formidable enemies. The Israelites were no match for all of those enemies, but yet the Lord said, go in. And he said, everywhere you go, everywhere your feet are placed, I'm going to give you the possession of that land. That was the promise of God to the children of Israel. The promise to us today is that God gives to us the heart to face challenging and difficult times. Amen. Folks, that's where we are today. That's where we're living today. All around us, there are all kinds of difficult and challenging things that are around us, and we need heart. Where does that come from? Well, it comes from God. It comes from the strength that God wants to give to you, to give you courage, to be able to move forward and do what the Lord is calling us to do. Amen. So some of you today, you may be feeling like, well, I just don't have the heart to do it anymore. I don't have the heart to move forward anymore. It's easy for any of us, men and women, young people, you can lose heart in the work of God. You can lose heart in the things that God has called you to do, your calling, your purpose, your ministry, the work that God has given to you. You can lose heart in all of that, but it's important for us to understand where we are right now. We're not going to be able to face the challenges of these days unless we take heart, unless we're strong, unless we're courageous, unless we're confident in God, and we have got a hold of the promise of God, and we're not going to allow the times to dissuade us or to turn us or to discourage us, but we're going to be encouraged in the things of God, in the presence of God, and we're going to take courage. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. I don't know that we've ever faced a time such as we're facing right now. Much of the things that we've believed and always have believed, just Christian principle, Christian ethics, things that have been a part of our life, our convictions about how we live. The culture is opposing all of that. All of that is being opposed today by the world that we live in today. It's all being opposed. And if you're not careful, it'll get a hold of your heart and you'll lose strength and courage. You'll have trouble believing that God is greater than all the things that we're facing today. But he is greater and he is bigger. He told them to go in and to possess the promised land, even though they were outnumbered, even though there were seven different nations or tribes that were there inhabiting that land, even though there were giants there, even though there were walled cities there. There were all these reasons why that they could not win, but God said they could. Amen. And that's where we need to take courage today. You know, we're just living in a world that wants to fundamentally change everything that we believe in, turn everything around opposite from what
we believe in. But as Christians, we have to take courage. We have to take courage. We have to be brave. We have to stand firm with conviction in these days. Now, you know that I don't believe that we should be mean-spirited. I don't believe that we should have a bad attitude about what we're standing for, what we believe in. I'm not suggesting that. But neither am I suggesting that we cave in to the philosophy and the ways of this present generation. As a matter of fact, it's absolutely essential that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ be firm in our convictions, solid and firm in what we believe, and not allow what's going on around us to change us. We have to stand with courage and conviction. To have conviction means you have been convinced of some things. You have been convinced of the certainty of some things. You have been assured, and you know. It's like we have said before, we know that we know that we know that we know deep down in our heart and our spirit, we know this is right, and we will not allow the thinking or the philosophies of this world to change us, to affect us, or to rob us of our strength and our courage. Amen. We must stand strong. Amen. We need to be people of conviction. Amen. We need to have old-fashioned biblical convictions. Things that we believe that we will not allow anything to change us. Amen. We've got a hold of them. We believe them. We know they are true. And no matter what the world says or does, we hold true to those convictions. Let me just mention a few convictions that are important for us to have. Well, prayer is an important thing. We need to have the conviction that without prayer, we're going to fail. Without prayer, we're not going to be able to make it. Without prayer, nothing happens in the kingdom of God unless the people of God pray. That's why the prayer meetings need to be populated with a lot more people. It needs to become more of a priority that we pray and we seek God and we call upon the Lord. It's not just something that Christians do. It should be our conviction that prayer works. And the only way that we're going to see the hand of God working and moving in our world is if the church gets back to old-fashioned prayer. Amen. That has to be a conviction. You know, and if it's not your conviction, then you won't follow through. If it's not your conviction, you won't do it. If it is your conviction, you're going to see the value and the importance of prayer, and you will do it. Amen. Another conviction that we should have, and that is that the Word of God is the truth and the only truth. Amen. In a world that wants to talk about the truth, they want to talk about, well, that's not my truth, that's your truth, that kind of a thinking, that kind of a philosophy that seems to be promoted in our world today, your truth. There is no such thing as your truth or my truth. The only truth is the revealed Word of God. That's the truth and the only truth. Amen. The truth of God's Word. It should be our conviction that if we stray away from God's Word, we are going to find ourselves in destruction. We're going to be defeated if we stray away from the Word of the Lord. The Word of God needs to be rightly divided. It needs to be taught and preached with power and anointing. And when it is, then it will have its impact. It will touch the lives of people. Lives will be changed through the power of the Word of God. That should be our conviction. Amen. That should be our conviction. Another conviction that we should have, and that is the value and the importance of the church. The church. I believe the local church is the hope of the world. I believe that the church, it is my deeply held conviction that the church is precious and valuable, and that we should hold fast to our commitment to the local church. Amen. Praise God. And when it is, then you're just always going to be there. Always going to be there. This was deeply instilled in me when I was a kid. As you know, my mom was the spiritual. My dad wasn't saved. My mother was the one that influenced us and our family toward church and spiritual things. I remember on more than one occasion, people who came to our house on church night. This could be Sunday night or Wednesday night or maybe even during even a revival meeting. Some friends would come over to visit, just randomly show up to visit. And, we're having a good time visiting and fellowshipping with them. But then when time to get ready for church, my mom would just announce to them, well, this is church night, this is Sunday night, or we're in revival this week. I'm so sorry, but we always go to church on church nights, and so I'm sorry. I remember on more than one occasion leaving them, going and getting the car, going to church, and leaving them with my dad at home, leaving the company. Company did not keep us from going to church. There was this deeply instilled conviction in us that this is the priority. This is more important than anything that you be in the house of the Lord. Oh, may that spirit be resurrected in this day today. Amen. Amen. May that same spirit. It got down deep in my spirit and in my soul. I remember when, back about 1980, we were living here. I was going to school. We had two little babies, probably another one on the way. And I was going to school down at Cumberland. I was working for CompCare in Corbin. And my schedule for about a year had me working from 11 o'clock on Saturday night until 7 o'clock on Sunday morning. That's a pretty tough schedule. I was running a bus route. I had a bus route here at the church. And I taught the young adult Sunday school class over here in the Cana Chapel. Some of you were in that class. That's a long time ago. But I remember getting off work at 7 o'clock after being up all night long, running home, eating my bowl of cereal, getting my clothes on and getting ready, running back up to the church so I could catch the bus, run the bus route, get back to the church, run to my Sunday school class, teach the Sunday school class, be in the service here, go home, sleep for 3 or 4 hours, come to choir practice, come to church. That was Sunday for about a year. And you say, that sounds pretty fanatical. Why don't you just go home and go to bed? Because something was instilled in me. The value and the preciousness of the house of the Lord. Amen. May God speak to our hearts today about the most important convictions. It's so important. The church can't survive if the people of God have not a conviction concerning the church. Its importance. Its value. And it was deeply instilled in my heart to be there, to always be there, commit myself to the church. And I have this lifelong commitment because I believe that the church, the local church, is the hope of the world. And I believe that God wants to work and move through the local church. And it can't happen if we are not committed to it. The church is weakened. The church is diminished. Our outreach is hindered if there is not this conviction. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I also believe we should have the conviction that the church is distinct and different from the world. We are not in step with the world. We don't think like the world, talk like the world, live like the world. We are not like the world. We are completely distinct and different than the world. That's not my opinion. That's my conviction. I believe that that's the church, that we are distinct and different and separated from the world. And I believe that the church has a mandate to reach the world. We have a responsibility to do our part to reach as many as we can around the world. Amen. Now, if you're going to be able to take courage, to be strong and to take courage, you have to really believe it. It has to be something deeply held in your heart, in your spirit. It has to be a conviction. And when it's a conviction, then you can take courage. Amen. Actually, the word encourage means to add courage. To encourage someone means you add courage to them. To discourage means to remove courage, to take courage away from someone or some situation. And you know, the one of the most powerful ways you can do that is through your words. Through your words. If you are going to be able to take courage, courage requires conviction, and courage requires that we guard our words. Amen, because it's powerful. Remember what happened to we've already made reference to what happened to the children of Israel, that they made no forward progress. They went right back into the wilderness and spent 40 years. Now, the Lord was with them in those 40 years. The shoes, their sandals, didn't wear out. The Lord rained food out of heaven for them. He provided for them miraculously. And for 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness, and they were moving, but they were getting nowhere. They were getting nowhere. Forward movement means that you are progressing. It means that you are taking territory. It means you are accomplishing things for God. The children of Israel went back into the wilderness because of the evil report. It was words. Words. The words of those 10 spies who came back with that evil report, it so diminished them. It so weakened them that the Bible says that they saw themselves as grasshoppers, and so they were. It was the words that did it. The words that diminished them and weakened them and stole away. It discouraged them. It stole from them their courage. Words are powerful, and they are important. Amen? They really are. Deuteronomy chapter 20. Sorry, Brother Darrell, I didn't give you these verses before. Deuteronomy 20 in verse number 1. Notice this. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be when ye are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people. Praise God. That's one of the responsibilities that we have as ministers of the gospel, preachers of the gospel, is to encourage you, to somehow put more courage into your heart and into your spirit, that your faith would be strengthened and encouraged. So it says that when you get ready to go out to the battle, you come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, you approach this battle approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. Praise God. The priests would step out there as they were going up against an impossible enemy and said to them, by his words, he strengthened their faith. By his words, he gave them encouragement. He gave them courage to go forth into this impossible battle. Amen. Now notice a little bit further down there in verse 8. It says, when the officers shall speak unto the people, and they shall say, What man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? So here's what the officers would do. Before we go out into battle, they would make an announcement. Who here is full, who is faint-hearted and fearful? Raise your hand. And the ones that lifted their hands, he said, go home. Go home. Because he knew that if they were fearful, if they didn't believe the promise of God, that their words and their influence was going to affect others around them. So he's going to get all those that were faint-hearted and those that were full of unbelief. What man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. Amen. Do you understand that your words and your actions have a ripple effect? It affects people around you. Amen. I've been around, you have too. I've been around people just in a few words of conversation. When I walk away from them, I'm like, I'm so deflated. I'm so defeated. I just feel like, oh, we've lost the battle. It's over. On the other hand, I've been around people, great men and women of God, who've spoken into my heart and into my spirit. While they were speaking to me, I could just feel my faith rising up in my heart. They were speaking. One person that would do that was Brother Robert Holmes. Every time I was around Brother Holmes, he would talk to me, and when I would get through talking to him, he'd make me feel like I was some big spiritual giant. He'd talk to me and would encourage me and help me. And some of the things that he spoke into my heart many, many years ago, I have seen those things fulfilled over the years because I believe that he spoke in faith and that God could work. James Martin does the same thing. I'll get text messages from him. And he'll just say just a few words, and I feel so encouraged by those words. And I want to be that kind of a person. Amen. Speak words of hope, words of faith, words of confidence in God. Amen. I think we all should remember the power of our words. The Bible says there's life and death. The power of life and death is in your words. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Your words can have such an impact. And in the world that we're living in right now, and I've said this for months and months and months, turn it off. Turn off all this news media. Turn off all this baloney. It's a whole lot of lies. It's a whole lot of foolishness. Turn it off. Listen to God. Listen to the things of God. Listen to the voice of the Lord. Amen. And allow your spirit to be strengthened and encouraged. Amen. I listen to lots of preachers. I listen to a lot of different podcasts and speakers and encouraging and uplifting. And there's no excuse for being down and hopeless and defeated. You have opportunities every day of your life to get stronger and to take courage. Be strong and of good courage. And remember the power of your words. Don't speak disparaging words. Amen. If you can't say something good, don't say something at all. Just be quiet. Amen. It's easy to be critical. You can criticize the music. You can criticize the preacher. You can criticize this one, criticize that, and how that's done, and how, you know, it's easy to do that. But instead, speak words of hope and encouragement. Amen. Bless people. And if you can't think of anything worthwhile and good to say to lift them up, then just pray for them. Amen. Praise God. The power of your words to add strength and courage to our lives. Amen. When people come to the house of the Lord right here in this location, they ought to walk away uplifted, encouraged, their faith stronger, believing God for great things. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, and our words are also important when it comes to expressing our confidence in God, what God can do. Joshua chapter 3, Joshua rose up early in the morning and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. He and all the children of Israel lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for we have not passed this way before. Verse 5, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Amen. Joshua had confidence in God. He had enough confidence in God that he could say, sanctify yourself today because tomorrow God is going to do some amazing things. Amen. It takes a lot of courage to talk about tomorrow and next week and next month with confidence in God. But that's where we need to be. We need to be believing God. No, we don't know what's going to happen for sure. We don't know all the things that will happen next week, next month, later on this year. We don't know, but we can certainly get a hold of the promises of God. That God's going to do some amazing things. God's going to do some wonderful, mighty things as we trust Him. Courage causes us to be able to speak about the future with confidence in God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you can give to us courage. You can strengthen us. And I just pray, Lord, for those that are a part of this service today, that their heart has been greatly affected by things around us. Recent days or maybe recent months, our faith has been so affected. Our courage has been stolen away from us. But Lord, we believe you. We believe the promises of God. We're going to lay hold of the promises of God. We're going to live with conviction. We're going to face this generation, Lord, and the challenges of these days with conviction. And Lord, we're going to believe that you are going to work mightily. Help us, Lord, to speak words of faith and hope and courage, to get a hold of the promises of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.